Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to another edition of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thanks for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanell. Hello, filthy animals. It's good to be here, boys. Joining us, rounding out the trio...
Adam Knox, my dick looks like Donkey Kong from Mario Kart.
No, it'll need to be, because we're referencing Stormy Daniels' yes. quote in her book about Donald Trump's dick.
Yep.
She says something like that mushroom character from Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So you'd need to be like that big ape from Mario Kart.
The fact that there wasn't like a sub-editor who bothered to look that up and also say... he's not from Mario Kart.
Yeah.
He's from Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 2.
It's weird though to
know... Come on, Stormy.
Yeah. And we are cool, by the way.
Yeah.
It's weird to know that, like, I don't know. It's weird to me that you would know a character from Mario Kart but not know its name. Don't you think?
Nah, that makes sense, I reckon.
Really?
I think Mario Kart is the most ubiquitous Mario thing.
It's at parties and stuff.
Yeah,
like
The character from Mario Kart, what's his name? The plumber in the red shirt and the overalls. God, what is his name?
Cardi Johnson.
That fucking Italian cunt.
That fucking mushroom cunt.
Well, to be fair, like, he's... He doesn't look like a toad. Toad is a weird name for him.
Toad's just a name, though. Like, Ben is a weird name for a person.
Yeah, if you've never heard the name
Ben before.
Someone
just made it up one day.
And people have referred to me as that mushroom-looking guy.
That guy that looks like Donald Trump's dick.
Oh, Toadstool. I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird that she didn't say toadstool.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Rather than, unless he's got like a little tiny freckly smiley face on there.
Yeah.
Like a little blue smile vein and two freckles.
Oh, God.
I'd never put that together either. Who would have thought that, you know, we would learn so much as a direct result of Donald Trump's dick? An educational tool.
Yeah.
Princess Peach. Because of that ass.
Oh.
Peach emoji. The little peach emoji.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Hey, thanks to everyone in Melbourne who came down to the live show that we did over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
We had Dave Callan gave us his hot takes on the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate preview event that we sent him along to on our behalf.
Yes.
Thanks to Nintendo for A, inviting us to that, B, allowing us to send along someone who's not on the show.
Yes.
And C, hopefully not being angry that a very large bombshell got dropped on the gig that I believe... Yeah, I don't know. Callan, let's not say what it is.
No, of course not.
Well, we can't because it's literally an embargo. We can't.
Yeah, well, I believe it is.
I mean, no, I think he's talking
embargo, embargo.
Daylight come and me can't talk about it?
Yes.
There's a really perfect one that I can do, but I can't because it involves a
net.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. It does. Rhythmically, it fits perfectly.
It's great.
We dropped a character that's going to be in the game that has not been released to the public yet in that live show.
I think he's talking out of his ass. There's no way. There's no way they put it into a demo build of the game.
It lines up with a rumor that I've seen, though. Anyway, we can't. We should actually get rid of that last little bit of us admitting we did it. Even
possibly, yeah.
No, we didn't sign anything, and he didn't sign anything,
and we haven't said anything.
Yeah.
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 And try and get us now. We never fucked that porn star.
And also, it's not true. I really think
I think it will be true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think he's gotten lucky.
The main point is come to our live shows because you get potentially actually like exclusive information. It was really fun as well, I want to say.
Yeah,
like,
it was great.
It was a great day. I had a really good time. Met some more of the filth.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a ripper.
Speaking of which, our next live event that we have coming up in Melbourne is Sunday, October the 28th. We are going to be at PAX doing a panel at 5 p.m. in the Ibis Theatre.
Yes.
The salubrious surrounds of the Ibis Theatre. It's good. So this only got confirmed. We only got told about this like a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people have already bought their tickets, which in some cases will prohibit them from coming and seeing us on the Sunday because they've bought a Saturday ticket.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes, if you're on the fence, if you haven't bought a ticket yet, if you've got a three-day ticket, you can come see us. Prime time, baby.
Yes.
Sunday, 5 p.m. up against Rex Hunt's Fishing Adventures.
If you have, I'm going to watch Postcards. We should just put that on behind us.
Yeah. Coxie's big break.
There's if you have friends who are going to PAX, tell them to come even if they don't listen to it, because we'll just be wrapping up. We're going to spend the whole weekend at PAX and wrap up all the games that have been there. And I think there'll be some really good things there, because if it's anything like the last ones, the stuff that's earlier next year should be there. And there's like a bunch of things that are coming out early next year that I do want to see.
And we will have played a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2 by that stage. So we'll have first impressions of that, which will be fun.
Yeah. We were floating at the live show over the weekend of the idea of us all coming out dressed as cowboys, which I'm very into.
Yes.
I think we do that and then we don't plan anything else.
I want to come out in ass only chaps.
We'll try and get Dave Callan to come along and drop some big bombshells about fucking, I don't know, the Spyro remaster.
Yep. Yeah. We'll reveal who's in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes. Yes, that game that's been out for only 72 hours.
That's it.
How did we get the scoop on this? That's going to be a lot of fun. But it was great to meet everyone out there. And we're going to try and do more stuff like that.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Big boy PAX panel first, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be streamed as well or something.
No, it's not.
Okay, right.
I asked.
Right, because one of the theatres streams everything to Twitch.
Yeah, right, no. Okay. It's probably the big theatre.
Are we not in the big theatre?
We're in a bigger theatre than we need.
We're in the biggest theatre we've been in.
Yeah, guys, for the love of God, if you have a ticket, please come down.
Absolutely.
Are we up against? I bet we're up against something real good as well.
Yeah,
real
Shigeru Miyamoto's
keynote.
He just comes and keynote. I can't think of anything more interesting than him just talking.
They're gonna recreate the Wii music presentation from E3 2009.
Send a whole bunch of build a fake forest on the stage and then send Miyamoto through it and it'll come out with five more video game ideas.
Is that's your favorite piece of trivia, I think.
It's just so stupid.
You bring it up all the time.
It's because it's so unrelated where everything that Miyamoto did turned into a game that's nothing like that activity. The feeling of chopping a carrot made me make fucking Pikmin.
Also, guys, did you know that Super Mario Bros. 2 was released as Doki Doki Panic in Japan?
Ah. Now that is an interesting fun fact.
Yeah, get a load of Dave Callan over here. Dropping an exclusive bombshell on the pod.
Oh, yes.
So we've got a fair bit to talk about this episode. Got a bit of news to go through.
Some late breaking news that's happened immediately before we're recording.
Yeah, literally an hour before we met up. Finally. Yep. Finally, the news cycle has started bending towards the schedule of this podcast.
Is that a bad sign, though? That could be a bad omen.
Why?
Because it's unusual.
Anything that's out of my routine. I saw three blue cars this morning. That is not a good sign.
It's too good. It's too good to be true.
It's too good to. So you think we're being what? You think we're being pranked?
Yes.
Okay.
The fact that there is news is too good. The actual thing that the news is about itself remains to be seen whether or not it's done effect. Because
let's not say what it is for another 30 minutes.
All right.
Let's talk about whether the news is good or not and then, right at the end.
Personally, I think the fact that it's, out of the routine, means it's probably a bad thing and the podcast is going to come crashing down around us.
No, look, the news is that Tim Allen is in the new Smash Brothers game.
Yep.
He is playable.
Dave, no!
there's a
Tim
mini...
Tim Allen or just the actor?
No, Tim Allen, the actor.
Yeah, not right.
And if you try to bring up any of his characters in the game, he'll get really annoyed and be like, I'm a human being.
Yeah, I'm a cocaine dealer.
Tim Callan... Tim Callan.
Tim Callan!
Tim Allen, the actor, and it's just like... So over the course of the show, you've come up with anime Tim Allen, and now you've come up with Dave Callan Tim Allen.
Yeah. Dave Callan Allen.
Yeah. No, Tim Callan, I think it's the best one.
Callan, yeah.
Tim the Tool Man Callan.
Tim the Tool Man Callan. Dave.
Does everyone know what time it is? It's tool time.
I've accidentally cut part of my shirt off with this buzzsaw.
With this katana blade.
From McBinford Tools.
There's a mini PlayStation in the style of the NES Classic and everything.
Yes.
That Sony are putting out. Neo Geo put one of these out and it was bad apparently as well.
Right.
One of those old ones and Sony's doing it.
Isn't the Genesis? Isn't there a mini Genesis?
There's a few different ones weirdly.
Yeah, there's been a bootleg Genesis one for like ages.
That's true.
So it's like licensed off of Sega, but it's some other company that one.
Right.
That like makes it quite poorly and the sound is fucking shit on them.
Right.
I played one of them a little while ago and yeah, it like they play fine, but the sound in particular was just... Remember how the Mega Drive had like a really weird, like kind of twangy, bassy sounding sound chip in it? It was like really tinny and awful.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, that's the biggest problem that comes up with these things. So the NES and the SNES Classic both worked quite well because Nintendo had already made the hardware to emulate it with the Wii, and they were just literally using that same hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
Sony hasn't really done that. I guess the PSP could play PS1 games.
Yes.
Yeah. And they made the original PlayStation. So I don't know what they're putting in it, but there'll be 20 games on it, old PS1 games. It's the same exact thing where it's like a small version of a PlayStation looking thing with the regular controllers, just the digital ones, not the analog controllers.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which I've already seen a lot of people on Twitter not too happy about that as a decision. Because there's like, so there's a couple of things about this. First of all, I always find it so funny when you see a company deliberately and transparently just doing something that another company has done.
Yeah,
just looking at the success of the NES Mini and being like, oh, I guess we'd better do one of them.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And it makes perfect sense, but it is very funny when there's no way around it. There's no way of covering up like your intentions are just like, fuck, we'd better get on this goddamn gravy train.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you know, with Nintendo, like they made the hardware and they made so many of the games that, you know, when it comes to picking a library, it's easy.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to tell what will be on this in terms of what they'll be able to have the licenses to.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of the games that, because it's Ape Escape was it's a Sony game, right? Like
it was essentially
a first party?
That's a good question. I believe it was, but I'm not 100% sure.
And it was packaged in with the controller that had the sticks on it, so I've seen a few people going, well, that means that Ape Escape definitely won't be on it, which sucks because it's a game that a lot of people, you know, remember very fondly and would love to see included in there.
Totally,
So it seems like a weird decision to not...
I would be very surprised if Crash Bandicoot or Spyro were on this, just because they've both got a modern version that they want you to pay money to buy.
Totally.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah.
I mean,
they changed teams as well.
So there is a list of 5 games that will be on it for sure.
Okay.
Out of the 20. Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a big get.
You don't need the analog sticks for that either.
No.
That's good.
I don't think it even supported them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Jumping Flash, which is like an early first person platforming game on it.
Mm-hmm.
R4 Ridge Racer Type 4. I don't know why I said R4. That's just like stylized part of the name. Ridge Racer Type 4.
Yeah, great.
Ridge Racer's good.
Yeah.
Tekken 3. That's the best one of them.
Yeah, great.
And Wild Arms, which I believe is like a cowboy RPG.
Wild Arms.
So there's 15 slots left.
Yeah.
That is strange to announce 5, but not just go. Maybe they're still... There's no way they'd still be finalizing that.
It's either like they might be closing licensing deals or... They are trying to get like a new cycle kind of thing going and they release another
few later on
to keep it in people's
minds. Because like apart from, there's like two of those games that I would play.
Mm.
And like one of them I've played many times before.
Oh, big Wild Arms fans over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd play Ridge Racer, Tekken and Final Fantasy VII. I'd play all of them, I guess. I don't know. I'd try them all.
Yeah, I guess Tekken's like a fun party game. Like that's,
It's like I would be so surprised. Like it could happen. I guess the Castlevania games are on the NES thing.
Mm.
That a company seemed to be happy to play nice with this sort of thing.
Stuff, yeah.
So if Metal Gear Solid is on it, great. If Gran Turismo is on it, those are like Wipeout, original sort of PlayStation games that you would want to have on this.
Like the original Tomb Raider 1 and 2 maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
How much these games in particular hold up these days as well.
That was going to be my next point. And it is, by the way, it is funny to me that the, you know, with people going like, oh, there's going to be an N64 mini. I've done it again. The Nintendo 64 mini.
Ah, yes.
I got rinsed for that in the Patreon group, I think. Anyway,
Nintendo 64.
There've been a lot of people going like, oh, well, that's you know, there's definitely going to be one of them coming out. And you know, we've talked about, you know, the NES and SNES. Those games kind of, in terms of like how they play and how they look, for the most part, have a real kind of evergreen quality. Yep. And we're now. It's funny that Nintendo are taking, if they are going to do a Nintendo 64 mini, you know, really taking their time with it. And now this is coming out before it. The PlayStation mini is coming out before it.
Yeah.
Which now means that these are all coming out in the order that they came out originally.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
The Sega Saturn mini never happened.
Yeah. I think Nintendo were originally developing the PlayStation Classic mini, but.
Yeah. Sony wouldn't budge on wanting to have the tiny, tiny little CDs.
The mini disc. Yeah.
But this is into the realm of the first one of these where I really feel like, how good are these games gonna play and look on a modern TV? Like,
totally. When you've got an HDMI cable coming out of that thing, and those games look rough today.
Yeah,
you know, and to the point where obviously this is only trying to sell to people who have nostalgia for the original thing.
Yes,
but if that nostalgia is spoiled by the kind of stark reality of going like, ooh, I'm not into these anymore, but then you've already sold it at that point. It's $149.95 Australian dollars. And $100 US, I think like £80 or something.
That's the same as like the SNES Classic?
Around I think it's a little more expensive. I think they were like $120 or something.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I kind of looked at this and I went, would I get one? And I never had a PlayStation 1 back in the day. So, you know, the nostalgia factor of it doesn't apply to me. I mean, I'm keen to play Final Fantasy VII, but it's coming out on Switch you can just download it on the PlayStation 4, right?
There's like iOS versions of them. Yeah. There's all sorts of ways to play.
You can play it on your MacBook. Like
And like,
well, that's the thing with all of the, and we'll talk about this more later. Like, well, emulation is like, I don't know. You shouldn't do it, I guess, if you don't own the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of, this isn't selling to anybody who's like, finally I can access these games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is mantelpiece thing.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you said before, and I agree, I don't know what would be weirder, like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro being on there or not being on there. I agree, when they've got these remasters out and they really, and that's the way to play it. Like, who wants to go back to it with the tougher controls and the, you know, the graphics not being as good, but also like they're real kind of like cornerstones of the PlayStation 1 library.
Totally.
So it would be weird to put this thing out there and go like, here's 20 of the big classic games loaded onto it, and those be left out. If you're just trying to give a snapshot that's representative of what it was like to have one of these consoles back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Agree. But then it's so weird that you're putting out these inferior versions of them. Like, I don't want to play that version of Resident Evil 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's that like really good remake of it that's like a modern game.
Yep.
And there's so many kind of examples of that, of things that are either completely outdated on there or like superseded by other versions of them. So in terms of the actual games on there, they're kind of fucked either way, because even if they put the best ones on there, it's still like, okay, well, these are not necessarily, they don't hold the same value to people these days as games for the most part. So
they should go all out and package a little gun in there with it and chuck some Time Crisis and some Point Blank on there.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, Point Blank would probably hold up. It was a nice like simple 2D animated sort of air gun game. Yeah.
You could make a little plastic light gun for fucking nothing, probably. Yeah. Pretty cheap.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. All right, let's head them off at the pass, boys.
I guess it's just games that have not been re-released, like Crash Team Racing and stuff like that, that were real, were PlayStation staples that, you can't get now. But those are few and far between.
Yeah. And look, it's like, it'd be cool to have 20 of like your favorite games from back in the day on this thing, in the same way that it was with the NES and the SNES one.
Yeah.
But then in reality, and I think this is the case for almost everybody who got these things, how much time do you actually spend going back to them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like for real. And then maybe the PS1 one has the same thing where within a day someone's like, by the way, you can put them all on here. Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I like the way the PS1 looks. There's something about that particular console and that era that is like super time gone by to me. Like I have proper nostalgia for it.
Yep.
So
that PlayStation booting up logo is like, that's the one for me. That's the sweet spot of being like old enough to appreciate it and young enough for it to be that kind of magical thing still.
100%. There was this video that Sony put out at some point, I think when the PS4 was releasing, of like this kind of single shot faked through this guy's bedroom over the years, and it went from like him having a PS1 and to a PS2 to a 3 to a 4.
Right.
And the PS1 part of it, and it was like all posters on the wall where it's like, it's the mid-90s, so there's like, what, a fucking Prodigy poster or whatever on the wall. But that,
Pammy. Pammy's got to be up there, hasn't she?
Oh, Ms. Anderson, please.
Oh, yes. Boys.
When she's running in Baywatch, I'm like, hey, keep going. Don't come back. But yeah, it's that era is for, I think, people of our age. That,
yes.
Our millennials.
Oh, yeah, baby.
More so than the NES and SNES, which people seem to have still a lot of, but that's a proper...
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll probably sell really well.
Totally. And the timing, it's coming out December 3rd, I think.
Oh,
that's big time.
Dude, that's lucky Christmas, that they baby. Got it.
Yeah, what are the chances?
It'll be interesting to see how many more of these get made by who going forward as well. If there's just a little mini version of every console, if there's an so NES weird. 2, because there won't be another NES one, right? Because they got the Switch thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
So maybe there won't be a SNES one because they'll do the SNES version of the online stuff. Maybe they'll put 64 games on that online service.
Wait, what? There is a SNES one.
No, I mean, there won't be a second SNES one with more games.
Oh, right.
Because
they'll
put those online. Yeah. But this is all speculating. Maybe there'll be a PS2 one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it'll all go away because people won't buy these little fucking bits of plastic anymore because they'll run out of space.
Absolutely that. Like, that's what already happened. Like, there's eShops now. They have PS2 games. They have PS1 games on those.
Yeah.
This is just a very cynical cash grab, it seems
I think it's a fun cash grab in some ways.
We said this when the NES Classic Mini got announced, which was kind of like, this is a fucking weird thing to do. And I think we all said at the time, it's like, you know, this isn't for us. This is for, you know, it's a Christmas gift for a nephew that you know, like that you want to introduce to these games. Like this isn't, you know, that we're not the target market for this.
Sure.
And but again, that plays into, I'd be interested to see how people will find this because a kid can pick up a NES game or a SNES game now and still have fun with it in like a charming older way. But this era, this PlayStation 1 era, you really are getting into a kid today really having a hard time with it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think some people do overblow how difficult it is to go back to those games, but it is like they have aged.
Yeah.
So the other thing
keep it like side-scrolling-y kind of stuff, I guess. Like Tekken and Ridge Racer, I don't think would have dated too poorly.
Totally. Yeah. Final Fantasy VII probably has.
But that's also
it's been kept in the like public consciousness so much.
And a lot of the backgrounds are static matte drawings. Yeah. So it is just the weird polygon characters.
Yeah.
But then that's the other side of that is like it's the story is very immersive and that's probably that does still hold up.
Yeah. The I saw like this poll the other day, some kind of, I don't remember how they exactly figured this out. I guess they just asked people.
Yes.
But it was about most recognizable brands in either Britain or Europe. I can't remember which, but it was over that sort of corner of the world.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bless
and,
you.
the number three was PlayStation.
Wow.
And then down, and I'm going to get these numbers slightly wrong probably, but around 11 was Nintendo and around 20 was Xbox.
Right.
So okay.
A PlayStation nostalgia piece potentially has more appeal to more people than a Nintendo one even does. Anyway, hopefully they make some money. Hopefully Sony gets a little bit of money in its pockets.
Yeah, good on them.
Fingers crossed for
Wouldn't
them.
That be good for
the
them,
little those. Battlers?
What other news did we have?
Well, the Nintendo stuff, I guess, is because mm-hmm. we were talking about emulation and whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
Was Nintendo... there another big story or do we want to go on to that?
I think this is it.
Okay. Well, pardon my French. yeah, so there was a Nintendo Direct on Friday morning, mm-hmm. I think it was, mm-hmm. Where, yeah, they announced a bunch of new stuff. It opened with a little pre-rendered trailer for Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah. Working title only.
Working title. It'll have some dumbass subtitle by the time they get around to
it. And it's finally coming out. Please say hello to Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Luigi's Mansion 2 on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. It was one of my, I think it was maybe my favorite game of that year that it came out. I fucking loved it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, and this, so we should say this was the direct that they, it was meant to be the week before.
Yes.
Got postponed.
Yes.
So yeah, there were a few things in here that had already been, they hadn't edited it at all. So
yeah, they
had just gone, even though stuff that would have been a big announcement at the time had already come out. What else? This thing that I'm looking at is all kind of out of order. So they gave a lot of details of the Switch Online service, which has launched today.
Yeah. Yes. Should we talk about that a bit first, I guess?
Yeah.
Let's go into that.
I signed up for it and had a look at it today. Like, it's not much. What you get is access to the multiplayer stuff.
Yep.
The smartphone app that already exists, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Cloud saves, which I didn't do any of, but
yeah.
They seem like they're spotty in which games support them.
Yeah.
And then apparently if your subscription lapses, they just erase all of that data as well. So it's even like maybe less safe than...
I'm not a huge... Like, I don't really mind about cloud saves or not. It's nice to have. But I have seen a lot of people be quite happy about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so happy that you have to pay for it, but happy that it's coming in. But then again, it's like, well, if it's not in every game, that's almost just more annoying.
Totally. Yeah. And like, it's a backup service basically for if your Switch gets lost or stolen. And if that happens to me, honestly, the sort of 20 hours I put into a game or whatever, I might not give a shit about.
Sure, you're more annoyed that the $500 device has been stolen.
And I guess the point is that the Switch should be a parity with features that other things have.
Yes.
Yep.
Which it still isn't.
Yeah.
That, like, this is a much cheaper service than PSN or Xbox
Live.
So
this is $30 Australian for the year.
Yeah.
$20 US for the year.
Which is, it's $40 less than PlayStation Plus or Xbox
Live. Yeah,
PlayStation is 80 here. Is it? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it's relatively cheap.
Yeah.
But the biggest sort of here's the new thing you're getting feature that they have is that there's an online sort of Netflix style NES classic games.
Yeah.
Play any of these.
Yep.
And it's good. It works well. Like it's really got a slick kind of interface and everything.
Yeah, it downloads as a new little bit of software on the thing. And you can play them offline. I think you can't play them offline for more than 7 days without being online.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like an ankle bracelet or whatever. You have to check in every week.
Right.
They're going to be adding... At the moment, they've released the schedule for like the new stuff that they're adding in October, November, December. So they are going to update it pretty regularly.
With like 5 games a month or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It runs really well. Like it's the interface of it, like you said, is really slick and like you jumping in and out of a game into another one is really quick and seamless and... creating a little suspend point and everything works really well.
Yeah,
it emulates well. It's got like that weird sort of color scheme that the NES had down. Like instead of gold, it would show like kind of brown.
Yeah.
And it looks like that. It looks like Nintendo knows how to emulate that thing. The selection of games is kind of boring. There's not much on there that is like, oh, cool, but what is there on the NES?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly the same way, like what you were saying before and how I feel about those things in general. It's like... yeah, I get maybe 5 minutes of playing one of those games and I go, yeah, I mean, there's so much new stuff out now and a lot of the new stuff that I play is indies that are retro-themed that give you that feeling of playing how you remember these games.
But still innovate and they have, new things and are better looking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we always say like the indies, the retro indies where it's like what you remember those games being as opposed to what they actually are, yeah, which there's often a huge gap between.
Sure.
You haven't literally played them before as well. Like, I think people of our age at this point, like, obviously this isn't the case with everybody, but...
People of different ages, different experiences.
Dude, sometimes when a woman gets to a certain age, you just got to accept that, hey, you're 20.
I'm 32.
31.
29. Tomorrow,
yes.
Today, when this
today, comes, yeah. When happens. You hear this, send Adam a birthday message.
Don't.
Send him three.
I've played all of these games.
Yeah.
So what's on there now?
There's like Super Mario 1.
Yep.
Zelda. Mm-hmm. Golf. Like baseball, all those sort of. I don't
Mario
know if those
3,
are exactly the ones.
Double Dragon.
Mario
Dr.
3
Mario.
Isn't on there yet, I don't
it
think. Is.
Is
it? Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I saw that in the thing.
Oh, that's a good game.
Double Dragon's good.
Yep. Excite Bike.
It's all like the NES versions of these games as well, though, which are often the worst.
There's a weird amount of like sports stuff, which is like.
Right.
You've got a million better ways to play tennis.
Yeah, yes. Like I don't need to play Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, given that they're going to be adding stuff to it, like as a starting point, and like I agree, it's not the most mind blowing lineup. But yeah, like you said, what is like there could be 20 completely different games that are more interesting, and it would probably still hold my attention for the exact same amount of time, which is
totally
not that much. But I mean, our personal feelings about it aside. I think it's a great little extra incentive that's on there, like,
and it's a well implemented version of the idea that they have.
Yeah,
I'd love to see them open it up and get some SNES shit on there. I really hope that's what the master plan is to kind of filter more of their consoles onto there.
I'm gonna really quickly read a full list of the 20 I think games that are on there.
Okay, please do, because I'm interested.
Balloon Fight, Baseball Donkey Kong, Double Dragon, Dr. Mario, Excite Bike, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Ice Hockey, Legend of Zelda, Mario Bros, Pro Wrestling, River City Ransom, Soccer, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, Soccer, Tecmo Bowl, Tennis, Yoshi.
Yep.
Okay.
So, it's the shit that if you download, like, free NES emulator.
Yeah.
There's a good little mix of stuff in there, though. A couple of puzzle games, couple of beat-em-ups, a couple of sports games.
Adding to it, then it's like, well, start with the ones that you were always going to have. Like, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, if at some point there's something more modern shows up on there. Like,
sure.
The free games that you get on...
I think they have Breath of the Wild on the Switch, man.
Dude, that'd be great. I've heard that game sick. But like the PSN and Xbox Live ones both give you pretty recent games for free.
Yeah.
Yes,
that Xbox Game Pass is $15 a month, which is a lot more than $30 a year.
I wasn't even thinking of it in that way. Yeah, you're right. Like PS Plus gives you great games, a lot of indies, like a lot of genuinely good games. Yeah.
So
Bloodborne was on PS Plus.
Totally. Like, to get these ones instead of that is like, oh, all right.
Yes, that's true.
If there was this library in every month, they're like, and by the way, here's... I don't know. Not Breath of the Wild. They won't do that. But here's fucking 1-2 Switch, your dicks.
It's
just not. But then it's a lot cheaper as well. It's $50 a month cheaper.
I mean, and again, I mean, I have the same. I have a PS Plus account, and I fucking never bother to download. Like, so many months will be like, here's the free game, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I've always heard that's good. And then I just never get around to getting it.
Well, that isn't their fault.
Yeah.
All my stuff got stolen because I never lock my door. Locks are stupid.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, I check it every month and I download every single game, whether I think it's good or not. Like, there's been heaps.
That I own already, I will just go I'll click on that.
Totally, Yeah.
I guess my point is, for me, it's like, it's the exact same thing of just like, as it is with this, it's like, I'm probably not going to play that much of them anyway, because I'm more inclined to just keep playing the, dozens of new things that I have on the back burner.
Yeah. I guess. And so like the biggest thing obviously with this is that you need this to play games online now.
Yeah.
Not with some, I think like free to play games like Fortnite there, you can play either way.
Yeah.
But like the main thing with this is that Nintendo have realized, oh, the other guys are bending everyone over a barrel with this and nobody's kind of kicking up a fuss anymore.
Yes.
So we might as well too.
Yeah.
And this is the exact same. Like people are like, fucking Nintendo charging us now and stuff. That happened when Microsoft started doing it.
Yeah.
That happened when Sony switched between the PS3 and 4.
Yes.
It's always the way. And then people always go like, boo, why are you doing this? As they're handing their wallets over.
Yeah. That's right.
And at least they have the decency to make it the cheapest.
yeah.
you know, version of it.
Yeah. In terms of the ratio of number of games you would want to play online on the Switch totally. to how much it costs. Yeah. Like yeah. $30 a year for Splatoon.
And yeah. Mario Kart, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I don't really play online much at all, so it's like, yeah, I don't know, I got it to have it just in case. That's the one cool thing they've added to the NES games, and I haven't had a chance to test this out yet, is that they've added, like, you can play them against people online.
Yeah.
Oh, only,
it's potentially
yes.
very cool.
Only your friends, though.
Yes.
In the Nintendo oh, right. locked up system where, so I went like, oh, I'll try the online thing. And then I couldn't because I just don't have Switch friends because I don't add friends to anything.
Yeah,
I just always do random ones. So.
Well, I should verify. I don't know if this is every game, but I did see a thing that at least one game, maybe Splatoon or maybe Mario Tennis, that you can, using the app, you can voice chat with random people.
Right. So, well, you can match with random people in there, but just specifically for the NES.
For
thing.
Sure. But no. But yeah, but with, I think maybe it was Mario Tennis, but like when you've matched with someone,
yeah.
the Switch Mario Tennis
yeah.
that you're playing against online, you can voice chat with them over the app. Which is not something yeah. I thought that they would do. I thought they would prohibit voice chatting to just people that you're friends with.
No, and that's right. good. They should have caught up to that.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's yeah. good that they have.
Yeah.
And now, you know, two of us can go like, hey, what do you reckon of Mario Tennis? It's pretty bad. Could you hear that at all?
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
playing with Donald M. Duck.
Nice. But yeah, it's... There's not much more to say about it. It's
I haven't got it, and I don't think I'll get it.
Yeah. Like if there's a multi, like maybe when Smash comes out, I'm assuming a lot of people will sign up then.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That'll be the big one for a ton of people.
What else was in this direct?
Mm.
So they did a little right at the. Oh no! This thing I'm reading is like all over the place. I don't know how they've put this together. New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
Yes.
On the Switch.
Which you guys don't like the look of. I never played it, and I like the side-scrolling Mario games.
Yep.
I like the side-scrolling ones that aren't the new series,
which are
not good.
I still prefer them to the 3D ones.
But I just found it, you know, pretty unimaginative. I mean,
yeah.
that's the thing. I've been a big defender of the Wii U games being ported over to the Switch because for the most part, they've all been games that I think are really great
yeah.
that no one played because no one had a Wii U. And it's like, you know what? More people should play this because it's really great.
Yeah.
This is the first one where I'm like, okay, enough with the ports because this is just a fine game.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
But the other side of the coin is, well, I mean, yeah, it makes sense to have a 2D side-scrolling Mario game on the Switch, and why not just port the one that no one fucking owned rather than
yeah.
waste, you know, resources making a new one.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, you're probably not going to be excited about them announcing a brand new one.
Totally.
So
no, totally.
Why not, yeah, chuck the U one on? Yeah.
I think, again, the thing with these Nintendo re-releases is that they're not up to the level of content that you get with what other people have done, like since the PS3 with these remasters, like you'd get the three games in the trilogy all on the one disc this remaster.
Yeah.
And the Nintendo one's like, here's the same game from 2014 again.
And it looks the same.
And it's the same price.
Yeah, yeah.
If this had been like the new Super Mario Brothers thing with Super Mario 3D Land or World or whatever, you know. Yeah.
This does have there was like an add-on that they did that was like Luigi, new Super Luigi Brothers U. That was like a kind of a remix of it that was a paid download thing.
Which also, though, was included on like a $25 version of that on the Wii U as well. That had both of them when it was like a Nintendo Classic or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that re-released.
It's that re-released with more money asked of you and then like two shitty characters thrown in.
Yeah, it's like a Funky Kong mode, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not Funky Kong, but it's that easier.
Yeah. Trump's dick is in here.
Yoshi's Crafted World, they showed a little bit more of that.
Yeah, that looks really nice. I love the way that those Yoshi games have looked for a while.
I like the bit in the trailer, in the little clip where he flips the world around and the voiceover guy's like,
what?
What?
The fuck, Yoshi?
What the hell's going on?
No! You see the guy like storming off from the voiceover booth? I will not be having this.
But yeah, it looks pretty. Like, it looks visually, it looks good.
It looks great. And the one on the Wii U, the Yoshi's Woolly World, was surprisingly Yeah, surprisingly tricky.
Yeah.
Seem, you know, they look very kind of childlike and they seem like they're going to be like a real pushover, but they actually, yeah, they're pretty substantial games.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. They showed off a little bit of a game called Town, which,
yes,
again, is a working title, yes, which they will definitely end up using.
It's an adaptation of The Town, the Ben Affleck movie. Looks great.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is Game Freak's new thing that they're developing, and it's an RPG. It is all set just in the one small little town. So everything just takes place in there.
That's why they
call
it a town.
Yeah, yeah. So like the word town, yeah, being town in the title, was, right, yeah, that refers to the setting.
Yeah, no, I think I said the other day when we were watching this, like they'll add a dumb subtitle. Like that'll be the only change.
Yeah.
It'll be like town, colon, a village for all. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Town, living, but.
Yeah. It just could be like working title as if you might completely change it. It's like, well, you've publicized it on here, so you can't do, like, you've locked yourself in.
Yeah.
Like,
how have you made this much of it as well without someone going like, this is the name?
Yeah.
At this point, like, there must be some internal argument where someone's like, village, town.
But I think this looks great.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. I think the style looks really fantastic. It's right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really, really great.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing more of that. Katamari Damacy Reroll, which is a HD remaster of the, Katamari Damacy. Always heard great things about this. Never played it. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks weird. I know nothing about it. I hadn't seen any of this game until that.
Yeah.
So right. It looks weird. It looks fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks really fun.
Yep.
They showed off a bit more of Daemon X Machina, which a fucking crazy flying mech game, which I am totally here for. I think it looks great.
It does.
I'm on the fence because there's been a lot of those kind of games on the PlayStation that I'd play on a demo disc and be like, 5 minutes was enough.
Right.
But we'll see how it is.
I thought it looked great at E3. I think the style of it looks really cool. Mega Man 11, there's a demo out for.
Yep.
And that's coming out pretty soon. There's updates for Splatoon 2 and Mario Tennis Aces.
Mm-hmm. That Splatoon 2 bit as well was just this patch of that presentation where it was just like with the Splatoon music, and they were just like standing around going like, yep, we're in Splatoon still, baby.
Voiceover or anything, and then they got to the end and they're like, pretty nice, right? It's like, you literally didn't tell us anything that's going on or being added. Diablo 3, the Eternal Collection, which had already been announced.
Yes.
Carry on. Civilization 6 is on there as well.
Yep.
Like, there's so, and look, we do this as well where the Switch version is like, yes, cool, I can play this on the Switch. So many of them though.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. City Skylines. We've talked about this off air, but not on air, I guess. City Skylines looks awful.
Yeah.
Apparently it runs okay-ish, but in the presentation, it looked like shit.
It looked like complete shit.
It looked like when you'd have a PC, like I'm talking like maybe early 2000s, you'd have a PC, wasn't quite good enough, and literally half of the graphics would load.
Totally. That's one of those like gateway ones that someone bought because like, I need to do my emails.
Yes, exactly. That.
I went on Metacritic the other day to just see if there'd been any reviews come in of it and what it was sitting on there, because I thought surely it's getting hammered.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's got any press stuff on there yet.
Right.
But it does have it's got a user rating of like 8.3.
Yeah, I watched some YouTube videos of it as well because I was like, that looked like it was running like shit.
Yeah.
But the YouTube videos were weirdly better. So I don't know if they just sent them a fucked file or whatever.
God, that, for your prezzo, that's awful.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic game. I've played it a lot on PC and Mac, and it's the modern day SimCity. It's really, really good.
Right.
Yeah.
Starlink Battle for Atlas.
Mm.
They showed off a bit more of like the Star Fox characters being in that.
Yeah.
I don't still really know what that game is. I just know that there's Star Fox in it.
Same.
Yeah.
It doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
I guess it's a Star Fox-ish kind of space shooter game.
Yeah.
The Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle, which, you know, if you're into that stuff.
That's out now as
good
well.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Yep. Asmodee Digital. Now, if you like board games...
Oh, boy, don't I.
Get ready, folks. Because there's a whole bunch of them coming out.
So, it's like Catan and fucking and Pandemic and a few other of those ones. And, like, on first glance, it's like, oh, that's stupid. But playing board games online would probably be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool.
Oh, that's like, it's, I don't even consider that a game, weirdly. That's more of just like a product, a tool.
Sure. Yeah.
Within which they sell individual board games, but I've just never really been a board game person.
Sure. It's like having Monopoly as a game. It's like, well, this isn't really a video game.
And as long as that online stuff functions and they're reasonably priced and they look okay, or you know, you can function well in it.
Yeah.
And you're not losing too much by not having the tactile element of it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you boys like board games. Let me ask you how you feel about ports of games from the Final Fantasy series.
Please do this next bit in an incredibly somber tone. During the presentation when Final Fantasy VII got brought up, the guy who's like, hey, Yoshi, this is fucking wild what you're doing. He was like really upbeat the whole time. Yeah. And then he goes, and coming to Switch, finally, the most important thing that's ever existed.
Well, he's not wrong.
Yeah. Ugh. It's fair, though. Like, that would be weird if that was around the other way. You know,
Yoshi's
Crafted World, Final Fantasy VII. There are 9 ports of Final Fantasy games coming out on the Switch.
Wow,
hell yeah!
So the one of them's out now. We talked about it last week. The Pocket Edition of Final Fantasy XV.
Yep. Pocket Edition HD. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also World of Final Fantasy Maxima.
Mm-hmm.
Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon, yes. Everybody.
That looks great. I don't know what that is, but it looks great.
The real mystery here is like, which of these are actually good games?
Yeah. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition.
That's a GameCube game.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know that much.
Yeah.
And then, Final Fantasy VII,
mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy
10 and 10-2, I think.
And 9.
And 9.
And 9.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. No 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Fine. I mean, they're all good games. Yeah.
They're all out on every other thing in the world as well.
They absolutely are.
And it means that you know, I think they're all coming to Xboxes as well. And I don't know. They're all over the place.
That was very funny that they just like, they go, anyway, Final Fantasy 15. It's like, oh yeah, cool. That thing that everyone knew from last week, and then it's like they just go the fuck in and announce so many fucking Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
No more Final Fantasy games than Nintendo games in this Nintendo presentation.
It's kind of bizarre that they're actually called Final Fantasy, but it seems as though it's been going forever.
This is an interesting bit. But it's cool. Like, and like all of those have already been ported to, I think, PlayStation. So it's like, well, they probably wouldn't have to do much work.
Yeah.
It's like just paying for the licenses.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Just bung them on another thing where they can be bought.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess the only other big main thing was Isabel being announced as a fighter in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And then at the very end, they kind of did this whole like fake sort of mock-up of it looking like an Animal Crossing game and Isabel getting a little letter inviting her to be in Smash Bros., which was pretty cute and well done. And then they showed her off and then they went back to Tom Nook, the mayor from Animal Crossing, which sort of made it look like they were going to announce him as well, which then ended up being them saying a new Animal Crossing game coming out in 2019.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting stuff indeed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was hanging out with someone who picked up my copy of Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Dude, this sounds like an exciting time.
And said,
I was hanging out with someone and we were just, you know, doing...
I was boring the fuck out of them, so they turned for whatever was nearest.
Oh, it gets worse. They picked it up and said, why do you have a kids game?
Uh-oh.
So that was brutal.
Have I not told you about my son?
But nevertheless, I'm into Animal Crossing and I think this will be great.
You're hanging out with someone very judgmental.
Yeah.
Very quickly, like, why is this child's product here?
I sunk a lot of time into the last one, which was on the 3DS. And
oh, that kids game.
Yeah, that children's game. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a few years ago. So
I mean,
must have been like 10 or something. Because there's no chance I would have.
I am constantly itching to make fun of Tommy for loving Nintendo.
Yeah.
A children's brand. So you know,
true.
I can't argue.
You do that, and then.
How it it feels.
Yeah. Display your copy of Animal Crossing in a prominent enough place.
Well, I won't be anymore.
I'm very excited about this. Just a new game in the Animal Crossing series is, you know, cause enough to be excited. But like having it and like that one on 3DS could go online, but it was, you know, it was 2013, so it was online integration of games, and especially on a handheld, was like pretty, like, you know, pretty limited. So the idea of, and also I didn't really know anyone who had a 3DS.
Yeah.
So the idea of it being on, so like more integrated on a console that like so many people I know have is very exciting.
Yeah.
I think it'll be, great.
And that game, New Leaf, was a great game. It was very deep and had a lot of different sort of functions and little hidden things, and the story was fun. And like there were so many different furniture options. Like, oh, baby. Ben's
rock
hard. I'm going to make friends with a fucking gorilla next year. Yes. It's going to be sick.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's that's cool. There was a lot of cool stuff in there. Mm. Good times.
Yeah.
Another one of those just like okay, cool, direct.
But I'm liking those ones because there's a lot of variety and there's a lot of stuff to think about, and there's more chances for it to hit with me rather than like half an hour of Smash Bros, which I'm like, I'll buy it, but I don't care that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Yeah, I love it when they – I just love this way of them announcing stuff rather than it being kind of drip fed out. Like I like it being like, in 2 days' time there's a thing and, you know, you sit there and you know, people that you know that are into it, like – you're all kind of watching it live. Like, it's a cool way of doing things.
Yeah,
You mentioned Smash Bros. Speaking of bros, can I give you a quick update on what that new Call of Duty's like?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
There was a beta over the weekend.
Yeah, private beta, right?
I've pre-ordered this game.
Oh,
because
great.
Because of this. I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah. Because of my gaming podcast. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to embarrassing purchases for the sake of this podcast in a little bit.
Animal Crossing Wild New Leaf. Wild World Worm? Was the DS one.
What do you play? Is what modes are out?
So it was the Blackout mode, which is their PUBG, Fortnite, Battle Royale style thing.
Right.
And I really liked it.
Oh.
I had a great time with it. I won the first match that I played, which I think colored my impression of it a lot.
Sure.
But it feels so it's different to I've not played Fortnite still. I've only played PUBG.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a very intense and kind of not slow, but like deliberate and weighty feeling game as well. And like it doesn't feel arcadey and fun.
Yeah.
It's and deliberately so, and in a cool way. But this is like that Call of Duty, very quick, like kind of successor to Quake-ish, like fast, point it and shoot really quick.
Yeah.
Type game mixed with, it feels like a mod for one of the Call of Duty games that someone's made, which I guess it is basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was 88 players or something when I was doing it because it was the beta, but I think they've cranked that up to 100 now.
Right.
So it's the same thing. You get dropped down out of this helicopter, you fly down onto a map that has a lot of different buildings and areas on it, and then you try to be the last one alive there. It's the same thing again. There's little areas where there are like zombies there that you have to dodge, but there's like good equipment in those.
Right.
There's the distinct sort of areas that are in between the large sort of patches of open ground are in the style of some of those old maps, I think.
Okay.
So it makes it kind of weird because there's these very intricate and fun to shoot people places and then sparse nothingness between them that you kind of run around. And but everything that that style of game does that is quite a chore almost to do in like PUBG, with where you're like managing how many guns you've got and picking everything up and equipping things takes time.
Right.
This has really clever ways of A, doing it on a controller, and B, doing it at all.
Yeah.
Where it's all streamlined, it's all faster and arcadey, and it feels quick and snappy and just a bit more of a sense of fun and silliness.
Right.
And I think it works. It makes it a different enough approach that it has a place to exist in when there's already such a prominent featuring of these sort of games in popular culture.
Sure. Is it worth cutting out a single player campaign for?
For my personal tastes, I would see the zombie part go over this.
Sure.
But I understand why they put their energy into this more than a single player mode.
Sure.
And I don't think it's going to hurt the sales of the game or anything like that. Like, this is good, and People will spend a lot of time on it.
Yes, and a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what is in this in terms of like microtransactions and stuff like that. Yeah. There were only sort of set pre-made characters that you could choose rather than a customization type thing.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that they go the route of every game where they're chucking in fucking hats and whatever.
Yeah. Umbrellas.
But that doesn't really matter because I think the main game, all the guns feel quite similar.
Right.
Which is a big difference as well, where like the actual equipment that you found made every game of something like PUBG very, very different.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it's you're kind of doing the same thing again and again, which might get tiring. But yeah, it's exactly what you would picture if you played Call of Duty and PUBG and went like, put those two together.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
But it works really well.
Yeah, it's like the best version of that.
It's really slick and like has the money behind it of a Call of Duty game. So right. It's a good version of one of those. And if you're still into that sort of thing, this could be like a fun kind of fresh take on it. And yeah, I was really into it.
Yeah, cool.
And whether or not you are interested in that, you will kind of probably innately know.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It, whether or not that will be appealing to you because it is exactly what it sort of puts itself forward as being.
Sure. Okay. I don't know. I like Fortnite.
Yeah.
I didn't mind PUBG. But neither of them really grabbed me. And I think it was because PUBG's sort of like, not amateurish, but it's like lo-fi.
Right, yeah.
And Fortnite is too cartoony.
This is exactly in the middle of that.
It's like slick and professionally made and fast-paced. Maybe
this might be the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if that, I think that type of game is innately appealing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yes.
That it is a very good time.
Yeah.
And
like Call of Duty online multiplayer has been, it was the first one I really got into in terms of first person shooters. Battlefield I got into later, but like I did love that little loop that they do. Totally. Very slick.
It's a specific feel and it's that exact same feel in this context where it's like that sort of very easy, quick.
Yep.
And you jump straight into a game. It all moves really quickly.
Yeah.
When you win, it goes like it's doing all the shit that if you're into that sort of thing, you would want it to do. And I think I'm going to play a bunch of it when it comes.
Yeah. Out. Okay.
It's cool. A good thing I pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
When is it out?
October.
Okay.
I think like the...
So like you weren't sure like what week? That month was called.
Yeah. Mid-October sometime.
October.
Yeah, I played that and some Dragon Quest XI, which I'm quite early on in still because it's like fucking half the time was me trying to come up with a fucking name. That's sitting there looking at the... I just ended up calling him Adam.
Oh, great.
Wow, all that time. Surely after a certain length of time, you'd just be going... I now can't use Adam because it's ridiculous to spend
this long. It's literally the first name.
I hate calling characters in a game Adam because it's my name and it makes me feel like everyone's getting at me.
Yes.
They go like, hey, Adam, you got to go save the world. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, my default is Tome, which is like me, but it's like it's a nickname, so it's like far enough removed. Yeah. You know.
I should use my like alter ego. I should call them all Banksy. I mean, I'm not Banksy. Don't worry about it. Don't tell anyone. Obey me. I know that's someone else.
No, it's Spencer. Whatever his name is.
It's slow moving. It's repetitive.
Yes.
It's kind of simple and straightforward in a JRPG way, and it's super relaxing.
It looks great. The style looks so good.
It looks fucking awesome. Yeah. I really like the way it looks. The music is weird because it's, I think we've talked about this on here. It's not
You told us that off air, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah.
There's like an orchestral version of the soundtrack in the Japanese game, but for whatever reason, the Western release like doesn't have the performance rights to that. So it's just like digitized compositions and it sounds weird and retro-y, which is kind of what the game is going for, but it gets a little bit annoying when it looks so nice, but sounds kind of backward. And I've turned the voices off as well, and I'm just reading all text because like the voice acting is fine, but they've gone for like the thing that a lot of medieval things do where like, oh, well, everyone's British then.
Yeah, yes, sure.
And so it's a lot of getting around people going like,
Oi, up, I see you on your horse over there. And
yeah, at some point it's like, okay, you can be text.
Yeah.
But it's a very simple, straightforward JRPG style thing. And it's just like very easy and relaxing in a pleasant way.
Nice.
I'm just wondering if that's the same, because I had that complaint about Dragon Quest Builders, that the music was really shitty and media shitty.
It would be, because it's the same composer, probably.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. So it's, yeah, right.
I think the story is that he has an orchestra that is like basically his that he works with and has never done the licensing agreements with that orchestra for any other country than Japan.
Right.
I believe is the thing, but I might be wrong. Anyway, yeah, it's if you like JRPGs, then you'll either like this one because you like them, or you'll be sick of this one because you've played enough of them.
Yeah, right.
But it's just like a fun little storybook before bed.
Nice.
Which is something I saw in a review that I agree with.
Okay.
I've just taken that and I realized, like, that's plagiarism, essentially.
Oh, get a load of IGN over here.
Ironically, the review was from IGN.
Do we want to briefly touch on Spider-Man before I talk about my big game for the week?
Let's ask him. Hey, Spidey, do you want us to touch on you? Go for it, boys! I don't know.
There's that
how to
classic
do
wit that he's always displaying.
Dude, I'm just a kid, but this is ridiculous.
You can touch me, but I might shoot some web. He's gone blue.
You've finished it.
Yeah.
Adam. Yeah.
Yes. I've had some time and some I've had some wallowing to do.
Sure.
And I've been wallowing about as a man who thinks he's a spider. I loved it. I thought it was great. By the end of it, I thought the story had gone to some great places and was done really well. The acting, particularly with the main two, the protagonist, who's a man by the name of Peter Parker.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And the main villain ended up being great. I really enjoyed the kind of story. Just doing the side stuff as it came up as I was swinging around was, I think, the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Just let yourself get distracted a bit.
I'm doing it the opposite way, where I'm going like, I'm sick of this story. I don't think I like it that much. I'm going to collect everything in a 5-block radius.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be like, I guess I'll progress the story.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing. I don't know if that's probably the wrong way to do it.
You unlock different types of activities to do, side ones, quite slowly throughout the course of the game. So if you're doing too much of that at one time, you're going to end up doing a lot of repetitive stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a fault of the game. Like, it's you know, that shouldn't be the case.
Sure.
But I don't think it's perfect in any way. I just ended up really, like, enjoying the fundamentals of it so much.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time. And I should justify the same way that everyone goes, like, Logan's the best movie I've ever seen. It's like, it sucks. But it's like a decent comic book movie.
Yeah.
And because those are the last 10 movies you watched, you think it's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Spider-Man is probably my favorite, like, comic book story that I've seen in a while.
Right.
Okay.
But
you mean this game?
This game.
Yeah.
Like, it's by the end of, like, the back half is a lot more interesting than the front half.
Sure. Yeah.
But it ends up...
Preach, brother.
the
front bottom not as good,
dude. Once you get to that one in the pink, toward I mean the one in the one in the whatever. However,
that's
many
what I call a side quest.
There's once you get towards the back end, the story starts being fun, but in a comic book movie type of way.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You know what? We just to follow up on a couple of things from last week. We did our proper review last week, and I will say now a couple of things that are not like big time spoilers, but I'm just going to have to talk specifically about some things that are in the game. So jump ahead if you don't want anything revealed.
Yeah.
And I know this happens. I know I've only done this once, but I know this happens more in the game later on. There's a bit where you play as MJ, which I just don't see the point.
Finished the second time I think that happens. It's a stealth mission.
Right.
I was bummed to find that it happened again, because I was like, this is all right, I guess. And then to hear that mechanic comes back multiple times, it's just like,
comes back
who
and it's
cares?
Instant fail stealth mission, which, God, I hate those.
I was thinking about these as well, because I didn't mind them that much.
Mm.
And I think a big problem that they have is that in terms of the story as well, they're all flashbacks.
Yes.
Like this, you already know that this has gone fine and that she's found whatever the thing here was and given it to Peter. And she's like, a crazy thing happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that makes them seem more laborious as well, because you're like,
yeah,
oh, let me continue with the main thing.
It really, it removes any illusion of this being like a thing that you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Any emotion. It's so un-video gaming.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jumping between characters is fine if that's, you know, GTA 5. It's like, well, it's still a video game and you can switch between them when you want. And
your actions impact what's happening.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those sections later on that I thought were actually good.
Okay.
So, again, same as with the rest of it, the ideas that it has, it delivers on a lot more towards the back end.
Right. Mm.
Which is like when a game is... people complaining about the length, which I think is crazy, because it's like it's a 20-hour long single-player game. Like it's God of War or whatever. Yeah. Which was just, so...
But people are saying it's too long.
People are saying it's too short.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And I think that's insane. I think it's a good length.
Yeah. Right.
But
The other one, and I got up to this bit just after we recorded last week, which was the E3
thing.
So it's not really, I guess, not much of a spoiler. But the big helicopter thing where, I mean, that looks impressive. But you get up to this bit where this helicopter is like crashing through New York.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're just doing nothing. Like,
you're just doing these quick time
button presses, which it took me a couple of goes to get it, because it was like you're watching a movie and then very quickly a thing would come up going, press R right now. And every time I would go, whoa, what? Like,
yeah.
And I just think in an age where you've got things like the Uncharted games, where you have these big set pieces where crazy shit is happening, but you're still in control the whole time.
Or at least feel like you are. Like, a lot of the time those are like, kind of an illusion a little bit.
Yeah,
but they still do it.
Sort of doing stuff.
The illusion works.
For a game where the swinging and the fighting is fun as well, and for those cutscenes to only really be the swinging and the fighting that it's making you do in this sudden quick time event way.
It has a couple little bits where you're kind of crawling around the helicopter, having to like punch a guy like through different sides of it. So there's that, but then there's just like the whole rest of it is just like it careening around and like sort of nothing happening, I just was like, oh, this is a shame that there couldn't be just like a little extra more here for you to actually be, not just watching a movie. Like even if you're walking around and stuff is just happening around you, it's the difference between like in that MJ bit where you're talking to the lady who's his assistant.
Yeah.
And it's just basically dialogue happening. So you can't, it's not like you can run away and really do anything.
Yeah.
But just the fact that you kind of can move around. It keeps you tethered to it. It's like, I am playing a game.
Yeah.
This person is an avatar of me at the moment, instead of just like, well, I might as well just be at the movies, right?
Yeah,
sure. I don't mind a cutscene in a game, but you're right that there are certain parts of that where it's like, okay, this is weird.
Well, that being the climax of this sequence where you sort of had done all this stuff to set it up, and then this big, like, cutscenes are fine. Cutscenes is a bridge to the stuff that you're doing,
when it does that, it does it really well. Like when it swoops behind you and then you're swinging.
But
I think if you enjoy the first bit of Spider-Man, you'll really like the second half.
Yeah.
But if you're laboring to get to that second half, maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah. My thing is that everything that I was like on last week, I dislike more. Everything I was like, oh, pretty good last week, I love now. So all of the traversal, all the swinging around, all of the little random or not so random like crime things that you find, and all the collection, and like all of that fun platformy stuff, I'm way more into. I'm just doing that.
I reckon keep going there. I think that the last bit is good. I think it gets it has a satisfying backup.
Well, I would keep going, but I've bought a brand new AAA game
that
I've also started playing. I'm playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Nice.
It's the third in the rebooted series.
Right. Now, when you got this game, does that mean that we've got six more weeks of winter? Is that what it means? If Lara Croft sees her shadow, do we have six more fucking mediocre games to trudge through?
You were watching that the other night?
Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
No.
It was on free-to-air TV Monday night.
Dude, yeah. Man, it feels like
pay for my movies.
Feels like that movie's on every day. Anyway.
Fuck off.
If you're going to bring it up, someone's got to do it.
What a great movie. I didn't watch it. I didn't really properly watch it, but I hadn't seen it in ages.
Tell you what's not a good movie?
A ripper.
Caddyshack.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It's a bad movie, but it has funny bits. I love Chevy Chase, so I'm into
right.
it.
Right, I hate Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I think he's funny in that. He's funny in Three Amigos. I think he's a very, very funny man.
I just don't find him funny for some reason. And yeah, Harold Ramis, real hit and miss guy. Anyway.
Bill Murray is not funny in Caddyshack.
No, he's so fucking over the top. It's crazy. It's like he was making everyone laugh on set.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, put that in the movie, imagine. But then you watch it, you're like... He's being a real dumbass right now.
The voice. I just don't like the voice.
So good deck going on for me.
It's very Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chevy Chase and Rodney Dangerfield just being Rodney Dangerfield is, I think he's funny.
Sure. Rodney Dangerfield's dumb and weird. So.
Yeah.
But it's, in a good way. Like
in Caddyshack, that's just like that's ultimate Rodney Dangerfield.
Him, like when he walks in and he's like, go get a load of this hat and all that stuff. It's like, this is crazy what you're doing right now.
It's great.
You're a real piece of work, Rodney.
It is like, it's like, oh, he's just doing like the Vegas lounge thing that he would have done.
Totally.
On set.
They just turned it on and he walked in and he's like, whoa, get a load of these cameras. What are they doing here? And they never address that in the movie, why there are cameras in the Caddyshack.
It's true.
Well, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is available now. Yep. And Cancer sounds like you're loving it.
Yeah, feels like I play that game every day.
Oh, Christ.
What to say about this game? It's basically as good as the other two, but it's in terms of like the story's worse, but the other stuff's better, so it evens out.
Right.
Like, in what way is the story worse? Because the story, I will say, in the first two, I thought was laborious and dull.
So it's in like the very basic way of like the game starts in an extremely unengaging way. Like it doesn't have a cinematic opening. Like it's very just like, oh, she's in a boat. Oh, the boat crashes. Oh, now they're on an island. Okay, I guess that's it. Doesn't bother to reintroduce any side characters. It doesn't really set up where you're going or what you're looking for.
Well, I think everybody has the Tomb Raider lore lodged in their head. Everybody knows the story. Oh, by the way, I watched the Tomb Raider movie on the plane.
Oh, yeah, recently.
I fucking hated it.
Yeah, so I watched that ages ago. I think I downloaded like a cam version.
Oh, dear. I watched a real version.
Yeah.
Not a Cameron version.
It is bad, right?
Dude, that first part of it where she's like...
Oh, bike messenger part?
And the pretending to be friends with everyone at the boxing. This is one of my least favorite movie things, where to make people seem as though they have a friendship, they'll be like, remember the time when I lost my sandwich? And they're like, huh, don't lose your sandwich again.
That
fake fucking lame-ass banter.
And someone walks past and it's like, hey, sandwich girl.
Hey, whoa, how many sandwiches today, sandwich girl?
Yeah.
It is so hard to like write that stuff in scripts, though, like exposition-y sort of stuff, without it being so obvious, where like in the real world, if someone just out of the blue went, hey, remember that time we did this? You go, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Are you trying to set up a scene here?
What's the deal with all these cameras around? Why are these here?
But Why do you keep using my name?
That's not a nickname you've ever called me before.
it's like that movie. This game is like that movie.
Yeah, right.
Probably worse in terms of the story and the setup and stuff like that. It really drops you in there, but the setting's good. It's like Mexico, and then it's sort of Mayan and Aztec sort of ruins and stuff like that. That sort of aesthetic is good. There's a bit of Day of the Dead stuff when you're in Mexico, in the city itself.
The day it constantly is in Mexico, according to movies.
Isn't it right? Yeah. Yeah, James Bond walked past. It was a really long single take.
Yeah, the fucking Groundhog Day of the Dead.
Oh, baby. The story's bad. The acting's bad. Like, none of that stuff is good. And it seems like they just don't care. Like, they've put no extra effort into it. Right. Well, since last game.
This is a different studio making this one to the last two.
Is it?
Yes. This is now the studio that made those last two Deus Ex games.
Oh.
Rather than the Tomb Raider one, who were working on something else. I don't remember. Maybe a Marvel game, I think, is what they switched on to.
Yeah.
And so I hated the same stuff you're saying about that last day is
actually. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, it was awful, wasn't it? Yeah.
So it sounds like these fucking characters have gotten their grubby mitts all over this Tomb Raider game.
I'll be damned if they haven't done it again.
My goodness.
But
tell you what, I'm going to go down there and talk to all my friends down there about recent memories and then have a go at them for what they've done here.
Okay.
Hey, buddy, remember when you...
It's all that stuff's bad. The design is good, though. The setting is great. The combat's fun. It's real stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
The puzzles are fantastic. Like, they're better than Uncharted puzzles, I think. It's just the story. It's just those damn cutscenes that is real worse bad than before. Yeah,
the stuff that I didn't like about, especially in my memory, the last one is like just holding up to climb a mountain for ages.
See, I don't mind that stuff, but you have mentioned that since I played the last one, and I noticed it a lot more. Right. I noticed it a lot more. It's like, oh, she's got to get through that crack, and it keeps closing, and boulders keep falling down, and it's like, oh, I'm just holding the joystick forward.
Yeah,
so
like
you're talking to a guy who loves No Man's Sky, so yeah, fine with just pushing a button in the same direction.
It's basically the same as the Spider-Man thing, where it's like she is animating all this cool stuff, but I am doing jack fucking shit over here.
Yeah. But then all the other stuff's great. The combat is really fun. I think it's more fun than Spider-Man because it's way more stealth focused. Uh-huh. You start off with way fewer, you know, tricks up your sleeve. And yeah, the puzzles are good, and the design and the environments and like the fucking world. Like we talked a lot about in Uncharted 4's sort of jungles and the African kind of savannah and the animation of that stuff being so realistic. This has all of that.
Right.
Like it's beautiful. It's a beautiful game. So I think as much as I do think Spider-Man's fun to swing around, I think this is more fun. Right. And then it's got all those like one-off tombs and puzzles and shit like that.
Those I've always liked in this series.
What I've read, it has more of those than ever before.
If it could just be them in sequence rather than going like, hey, Lara's friend whose name we absolutely do not remember.
Yeah.
Because he's just this guy who doesn't seem to affect anything ever. Mm. And Lara doesn't seem to be friends with him.
Yes.
She just says she's friends with him.
Yes.
But hey, John, should we go hide in another mountain? And he's like, oh, Lara.
Absolutely.
It's just the...
But it almost seems like they've realized that because there's less side characters. Right. There's less story. So it's still done poorly. There's just less of it. Mm. There's like a fun flashback, which again reminded me of Uncharted, where it's like young Lara climbing around their mansion and there's like puzzles in there and stuff about the family history and shit, which I don't know.
They're just sort of bland games, right? That's what I've always taken away from them is that they're very cookie cutter. This is a third person action game, just real kind of unimaginative almost.
If Uncharted didn't exist, they would be fantastic. They'd be like, oh, it's the Indiana Jones game we've always wanted. But because Uncharted does exist, it's like, well, it's basically another Uncharted but with a woman as the protagonist.
It's not a new one of them out, so may as well.
But they certainly do. They have more like one-off, non-story, non-linear challenges and puzzles and shit like that. So it's always had that over Uncharted.
Yeah.
And it still has that. Apparently has more of that. So I don't know. I'm into it. I think it's good. But the story is worse.
Hey, and good for them for being able to get away three separate times with going, this is the game where she becomes the Tomb Raider.
Impressive. Yeah. I do believe she by the end of this, she does become the Tomb Raider.
What does becoming the Tomb Raider mean?
If you don't know, never will.
But they talk about it like she's a superhero and like everyone's like, oh, the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that means.
I don't think they ever say Tomb Raider in the game.
I hope that's the end.
Looks into the camera. Tomb Raider.
Guess now I'm the Tomb Raider. And then it cuts back further out and Rodney Dangerfield's there and he goes, who are you talking to? Oh, what's with the ponytail? Isn't it going to get stuck in a boulder?
That's a good point.
Keep your hair short.
I have gone in this week a 32-year-old man on the Nintendo Labo.
Have you really? Yeah. That is a crazy...
And what was his name?
Fuck.
Yes!
The rinsing of a lifetime.
Oh, did he give you that?
Fuck. Yes, I went in on the Nintendo Labo vehicle kit. Oh,
yeah.
You've become the Tomb Raider.
Yes. I've become the Toy Raider. It came out on Friday. I had a free afternoon. I thought to myself, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go and get this big overpriced cardboard toy.
Yes.
And so it is a kit where you make a steering wheel, pedal, joystick and like a submarine control thing.
Oh yeah, the big four.
I don't know what the term for that is. Yeah. So it's all the other kit that they've there's a robot set and then there's like a set that's just like a variety of like different little things that aren't linked in any way. These are like ultimately five different things that you make that all a part of like the one game.
Yeah.
So I got it thinking, oh yeah, I'll just make this afternoon, talk about it on the show. You know, that'll be a fun way to spend an afternoon. It takes fucking ages to make. Like, I still haven't made all of it yet.
Yeah, right.
The steering wheel took me maybe like, I think like 4 hours or something. Like, wow. Over 4 hours, yeah.
Jeez.
Plus the pedal takes a little while. But it's a lot of fun. Like, right. I love like, yeah, I love like flat pack IKEA furniture. So if that sort of stuff gives you a jolly, you'll be into this.
Like, yep. Is it satisfying in the way that Lego will like click together?
Yes.
And when you put it together, it feels as though that is solidly holding.
Yes. Mm.
Good. Okay. Because yeah. That was the thing I was thinking about with that. Because when you do like cardboardy things, you can push the tabs together and you're like, that feels like it wants to come apart.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're designed really well where it's a lot of like folding over tabs to make a little box, but it's like the way that the tabs click into the holes.
Yeah.
It is pretty thick cardboard. It's real sturdy cardboard. It's like that, whatever that reinforced, like it's got some weight to it already.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of it, yeah, it clicks in really snugly. And a lot of the stuff you're making, you're often like kind of like folding over like reinforcement bits for inside it so that it makes it even more sturdy.
Right.
So you are actually left with something, even though it's cardboard, is pretty, you know, bulky and rigid and sturdy.
All right.
So the way that it's done is really cool, where you put the game card in and the instructions are just on this game card.
Mm.
So it, you know, you click to go through to each step. And the way that the instructions are written are, you know, kind of cute and charming, where it's like, you know, it's like it's talking. It's not just like bland instruction. It's being like, you know, it's got a bit of personality to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, you know.
That sounds like a nightmare to me for some reason. I don't know. I think I'm just picturing like internet cute, like, Emma Gabb, put the fucking tab it. You know, like I don't want the sound of that, but
it's not. Oh no, it doesn't speak to you. It's like text.
No, I know, but like in what, I don't know. How is it like?
No, I know what you mean. It's not. It's more just little things like, you know.
Is it like a little clippy from Microsoft Word? Is it that?
Oh, it's just things like, you know, fold this over. Oh, it looks a bit like a mushroom, doesn't it? You know, it's just.
Oh, is that Stormy Daniels?
Like that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's like, you know, now this guy, he looks like a little guy giving a hug, doesn't he? He's going to, I mean, he's aimed at kids.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it's just that little bit of, it's not personality, like they've tried to put like jokes in there and stuff. But it's just like, just little flourishes that are very Nintendo that do make it feel a bit more.
They Nintendo of all of the brands do tend to do that stuff well. It's never too annoying.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Like the Microsoft stuff you get on the Xbox dashboard and everything, like, oops, something went wrong.
Yeah.
Let me fucking figure that out for you.
Where's that? You? That's sick.
Oh god, I hate it.
So yeah, it's I had a really good time making it. Mm-hmm. and seeing the way that it, you know, you get these bits and you pop them out, and you're just like, what the fuck am I even making? You know, you make this little box and it's like, and then as you see it come together, it's incredibly satisfying.
It does really sound like Lego, because like you do that in stages and you're like, well, what the fuck's that meant to be? And then you do the next one, you pop them together and you're like, oh.
How's this brick going to be used in this house?
Yeah. And you know, it's like Lego, but instead of looking at a sheet of paper, you've got a little console there and it's got like a little backing music that plays as you're doing it, which is like cool little soundtrack.
The boys are back in town.
I've made the steering wheel and the key and the pedal, and that once you've finished the steering wheel, that allows you to play the game that's included in it.
Right.
And it's cardboard, but it's also like rubber bands and string and stuff like that. So you end up making a steering wheel that's got a little button in the middle, levers on each side with stuff that turns on them, and a big kind of string that comes, like a pulley thing that comes out the side.
Like to start your car like a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you unlock the game, which is like you're in a little car and you have this big island that's got, I think it's like 12 different areas to it.
Mm.
So it's pretty big. And you, in each area, there's like 8 little different objectives that you have to do that are all pretty simple. They're like, you know, pick up this person and go drop them off there. And it's, yeah, I mean, it having the steering wheel and the pedal, like it handles really well for something that is just cardboard. It's a cool little peripheral, and it is really fun. Like it's, you know, because you've got the Joy-Con in there, it's got that HD rumble, so the pedal has a bit of vibration to it when you put it down. So the steering wheel has these components where, there's the two levers that each have a little dial on them. So you can turn the dial on each of them to change what the function of the lever is.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be either chucking bombs or a saw that comes out so you can chop down trees.
All right.
You have to refuel the little car every now and then. So one of the functions is pulling out the thing to get it fueled up.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn a radio on with it. Yeah, and the string like is like a turbo boost thing. So
right.
if you pull on that as you're driving along, you go a bit faster. Yeah, and the design of the little island is really cool. It's really cute. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a super dense thing, but there is the fact that there's, whatever I said, 12 areas with 8 different objectives in each one. You know, by the time you drive around and by the time you build all this stuff and you drive around the island and do all the stuff on it,
yeah.
that's a fair bit of time taken up, which I think the complaints about the last two were that they were pretty, you know, pretty limited and pretty like you make it and then it's like, oh, that's kind of nifty. And,
yeah.
and this still does have a shelf life to it. But yeah, I mean, I had a really fun time with it.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I'm really enjoying making it. And as much as, you know, it is definitely geared towards kids, they're, you know, I was talking to someone about it and they're like, oh, it's a shame that they're like, I would sort of get it, but I would kind of want to have, you know, a kid or
yeah.
you know, be with a friend with their kid making it. But my main thought making it was like, thank God I don't have some dumbass kid around ruining this experience for me. Like, I just put on a podcast and, like, made some cardboard shit at my table for, like, 4 hours. Like, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really – it's like, the making of it is really cool. And, yeah, the game, like, the feeling of, like, spending hours making this controller that you then use in the game is really satisfying.
Right.
Like, controlling a game with this thing that you've sunk all this time into and you know exactly how it all works because you've seen it come together. Like, there's bits in the steering wheel where you have these little bits of silver tape around it and it's like...
It's reflective so the Joy-Con can read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's reflective.
Right.
And that's
right.
the bits of the dial that you're... That you're turning on, in the car with the levers, like that's how it's seeing which bit you're on. Is
right.
that it's yeah. So just seeing all that come together is like, oh, this is fucking cool.
Yeah,
and I imagine would be even more so if you're a little kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like when you make the pedal, it's all based on you know the tilt of the Joy-Con.
Yep.
And you finish that, and then it talks you through a whole thing of like, oh, you could make another pedal like this if you wanted to, because it comes with just like a little cardboard slip.
Mm.
So it talks you through how. You know, you could get like a folder, like a ring binder folder, and then get a bit of sponge and put it in there and then like push down on that and you could stick stick the Joy-Con on the top of that.
It sounds like there was someone at Nintendo who thought they were about to go out of business. They're like, we need to make games where someone could just use a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, for it being tilt control based, like I sort of thought, oh, this will be the real test. Like I'll, you know... Probably get going with the pedal and the steering wheel and just find that it's, you know, a little clunky or whatever. But it works perfectly.
Right.
Like,
cool.
It's also, you can use it with Mario Kart as of later today in an update that's coming out. So I haven't been able to test it out with like a real game and kind of see how it handles in the context of that.
But
I sort of got it, because I had some time to kill and wanted to make something and you know, for the purposes of talking about on this, but yeah, I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
Yeah,
I had a lot of just very wholesome, and the driving around the island is just very therapeutic and meditative and fun. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do next with this, you know, with this series of stuff. Like, and I think if it ends up making a dumb little peripheral that you can then use with other games, like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Sounds like a fucking kids game.
Yeah. All right, go jack off to Animal Crossing, you fucking idiot.
No, it sounds fun. It sounds
good. If you've
good.
Got a kid, like, I definitely, yeah, if you're looking to get your kid into games and you want a project to do.
Sounds perfect
for
that.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't immediately discount it if you're older and don't have kids.
I'm going to wait until they make some adult Labo kits. Like, build a wine rack.
Cartoon fleshlight. Yeah, I mean, it's if you like constructing things, if you get a little kick out of, you know, IKEA furniture stuff, and if you've got... Yeah, if you're some fucking arsehole with way too much money, then go for it. Like, you'll have fun.
Man, you've pitched it directly to me.
Sick.
Good shit. Good episode, boys. That was a long one.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to go get some dinner.
Oh, yes.
I don't know about you two, but I'm hungry.
My tummy's a rumbling.
Yeah. I have to run and do a gig now.
What?
Yeah. I got an offer during the course of this.
Wow. This is a fucking power
move.
This
is huge.
Let me guess, Crab Lab?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you're listening to this, you can't go. It was
last night. And apparently 4 people dropped out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been an absolute exodus tonight for whatever reason.
Well, whoever's running that gig just has no hand on this on the tiller there. That is
Is it cold outside? What's going on?
Because I was
going
to say, that gig had 2 extra people added to it as well.
Wow. Anyway.
That's crazy.
thanks for listening, everybody.
Do you want to walk with him and get ramen next door?
Yes.
Let's do this on the pod.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Yes, keep in touch with us on the socials. We love getting your feedback. We've been getting a lot of emails and stuff lately, which we were saying before the show. We haven't done any for a while, but when there's weeks where we've got heaps of shit to cover, it would be foolish of us to go into the mailbox, but we will go in there in, you know, probably within like the next month when there's a bit of a quieter week.
Definitely.
So yeah, just because we haven't gotten to them yet doesn't mean we aren't going to get to them and that we don't like getting them. So send us an email. filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the links to all the stuff. Patreon, the bonus Bandcamp episodes that we do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Guys, thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
I was going to try and do a toad voice and be... But I couldn't get up that high. And neither can Donald Trump's dick, by what I've heard.
Yes, queen.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.